In their attempt to prepare for the future, Americans are constantly seeking information. We want information about technology and finance and business and health and safety. In fact, the World Wide Web expands by 17 pages every second of every day. There is a proliferation of information going around the world as we are full on into the information age. Now, it is not necessarily wrong to focus on the future, but it is wrong to do so at the expense of forgetting what God has already done in our lives. And at forgetting what God is doing right now in our lives. And I believe that each and every one of us must recognize today that it is possible to become so goal conscious and so future conscious that we forget to give thanks to the Lord. We forget the admonition of the psalmist who said that we are to be still, we are to meditate, we are to know that He is God. Now, the word thankfulness comes from the Anglo-Saxon word thankfulness. And so we are reminded that we must be thankful before we will be thankful. We must stop to remember what God has really done. In fact, if you want to be unhappy in life, then just be unthankful or unthankful. The most miserable people I ever meet are those who just haven't stopped lately to thank God for all that He has done. In fact, Inc. magazine a few months ago gave an article in which they listed a psychologist study stating that depression has risen 300% since the year 1900, that as we have more technology and more things in this day in which we live, we also have greater depression. And I believe one of the reasons is found in the fact that we are not thankful to the Lord truly for all that He has done. And you know, at the beginning of the spiritual decay of any society, you will always find the attribute of unthankfulness. You will always find a people who stopped acknowledging God for what He has done in their lives. Jeremiah spoke of this in Jeremiah 2 and verse number 32. As he was the prophet of God, he spoke to the children of Israel and said, "Can a maid forget her ornaments? Can a bride forget her attire? Yet my people have forgotten me days without number." God says, I feel sometimes like my people just turn me off like a light switch and forget about me days without number. And I wonder, Christians, sometimes if we don't do that, we forget to open His Word and listen to Him. We forget to bow our knee and speak to Him in prayer. We forget many times the house of God to gather together and assemble as we should. God said to the children of Israel, sometimes my people can go days without thinking about me. The first century Gentile world had the same unhappiness. They had the same problem. And you'll see in your notes this morning, Romans 1 and verse 21, God speaks about the Gentile world by saying, because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. And because they were not thankful, there was no joy, there was no consciousness of God in their hearts, and thus there was the removal of the blessings of God from their life. You know, the Bible says that even in the last days, there will be this attribute of unthankfulness, very pervasive around the world. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1 in your notes states this. This know that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. God says in the last days there will be an unthankfulness, and we see that many times today. Now, while a lack of gratitude is normal for the world without Christ and normal for a man without Christ, certainly someone that is living an authentic Christian life is going to have gratitude in their life. They're going to have what we sometimes call the gratitude attitude. They are just going to be thankful for what God has done in their life. And I want you to notice with me this morning as we study the characteristics of this one who is living a life of gratitude. First of all, let us see the foundation of gratitude. The foundation of gratitude. The Bible says in Psalm 95 and verse 1, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Now, the foundation of our gratitude, first of all, is God's redemptive work. You see, friends, the Lord is the rock of our salvation. Therefore, He is the real foundation of our gratitude. Jesus Christ said to Peter, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church." Peter was not the rock. He was the little pebble. Jesus is the rock, and He is the foundation of our gratitude today. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57 said, "But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." My friend, if you're here this morning and you realize that Jesus Christ came some 2,000 years ago, was born of the Virgin Mary, lived a perfectly sinless life for 33 and one half years, and because He loved you and because He loved me, He went to a cross and shed His blood there to forgive us of our sins and rose up again 3 days later to prove that He was God in the flesh. If you realize that He did that for you, and if you have put your faith in Christ who has done this for you, then you have victory in your life today because you know that your sins are forgiven and that heaven is your eternal home. That's why Paul said in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 15, "Thanks be unto God which giveth us the victory." Thanks be unto God for His unspeakable gift. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, what He did at Calvary, Paul said sometimes it's just unspeakable. It's just hard to put into words what God did at Calvary. What I'm saying is this, Christian friend, if you're saved and you know it today, no matter what's going on in your life, you can be thankful to God that you're saved. You are on the victory side. The Apostle Paul said it that way. He said, "Thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory." And someone could have said to Paul, "Paul, you're just a tent-making itinerant preacher. You've been thrown into prison for what you preach. You've been stoned for what you preach. How can you talk about victory?" And he would say, "Oh, my sins are forgiven. I've got a clear conscience with my God, and heaven is my home." And he would tell you that this is what victory is all about. God's redemptive work places you on victory side. Friend, are you saved today? Because if you are, you're on the victory side. Then not only does God give us His redemptive work as a foundation for gratitude, but secondly, our relationship with Him. The foundation for gratitude in our lives is, first of all, God's redemptive work, but secondly, our relationship with Him. You see, the Bible says something in verse 7 that is worth noting, Psalm 95, 7. "For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture." He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture. Do you notice the word "our"? My friend, have you stopped lately to realize that He is your God and that you can have a relationship with Him personally? He's not just the big God up there in the sky who's got the whole world in His hands. He is a personal, loving God. The Bible says, as Jesus spoke in John 15, 15, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not the will of his master, but I have called you friends." Jesus Christ calls you and He calls me His friends. He's not only redeemed me from my sin, but He wants a relationship with me in an abiding daily walk with Him. And so the foundation of gratitude is this: Jesus is mine and I am His. He is my Savior. My sins are forgiven. He loves me and He walks with me and He talks with me. And if you have a friend named Jesus, then you have a reason for gratitude from your heart today. Thank God today that you and I have a friend named Jesus, and He redeems us to be a peculiar people unto Him. He wants us to be His people who walk with Him and talk with Him. And if you are His people, and if He is your God, then you have a foundational reason for giving thanks no matter what is going on in your life today. You are living on the winning side. I shall never forget back in about 1994, Dr. Curtis Hudson was preaching his very last message. A dear preacher friend of mine, I had flown to the state of North Carolina for a pastor's meeting and really just to see him preach his last message. What a strong physical man he was in the days of his earlier life and in the time of his health. A man that lifted weights, a power weight lifting champion from the state of Georgia, strong man. And yet as the cancer had filled his body, now a man of about 80 pounds, holding on to the pulpit and preaching about Jesus Christ. After he finished his message on that occasion, he began to sing spontaneously a song that I had never heard in my life until that night. And the words to that song simply stated were, I'm on the winning side. I'm living on the winning side. And someone can say, how can you speak of being on victory's side? And he would say, because Jesus is my Savior and heaven is my home. Friend, if you're saved today, you're on the winning side. But notice, not only do we see the foundation of our gratitude is Jesus Christ and His redemptive work, but secondly, the inspiration of our gratitude. The inspiration of our gratitude. Did you know that besides saving us, God does so much for us on a daily basis, things that should just inspire us to be grateful to Him, things that remind us of how good God really is. You know, sometimes I believe that we as Christians, if we're not careful, we get sort of a spiritual amnesia. You know, we just forget how good God is. It's as though we're blind to all that God is doing, and we're forgetful about all that God has done. But if you and I would think of it for a moment today, our hearts can truly be inspired about how much God loves us. The strength of God inspires us. The strength of God inspires us. Verse 5, the sea is His, and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. You know, my friend, I thank God today that He is a God who has the power to create and sustain this world. I thank God today for His strength. The psalmist said in Psalm 121 and verse 2, my help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I thank God today that He is a strong and a mighty God. I thank God for His strength, and that even in the times when we're weak, yet He is strong. Paul the Apostle said, when I am weak, then He is strong. And we have a God whose strength inspires me. When I see the high rocky mountains, and when I see the grand rivers, and when I see the great creation all around us, I'm reminded of the fact I have a strong and a powerful God. I'm glad today that I'm not praying to some stone God or some New Age crystals, but I am praying to the Creator God of the world, and His strength inspires me and encourages my heart. But not only does the strength of God inspire me, but the sustenance of God inspires me. He provides for me day after day, and He provides for you day after day. The Bible says in verse number 6, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. You know, as a loving shepherd, He leads us by the still waters. He leads us into those pastures where we can be sustained and where our needs are provided for. The Bible says in Psalm 37 and verse 25, I have been young and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. My friend, God provides for His children. God will take care of you. James 1 and verse 17 says that every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. You say, well, there's some things I want that I don't have. But I'm going to tell you, friend, God takes care of all of your needs and all of mine. Sometimes He gives us our wants as well. But thank God today for His sustenance. We are living in a country that last year spent more money on gambling than we did on groceries. I know there are some people without, but we apparently have so much in the way of abundance that we can spend time in Vegas, in Atlantic City, and playing the lottery, and more money on that than on groceries. I would say God has been good to this nation, and God has supplied the sustenance of this nation on a daily basis. And friend, when you have lunch today, and when you go into your home today, don't look at what you don't have, but thank God for what you do have and for what He's provided for you. The strength of God inspires us, and the sustenance of God inspires us. But notice thirdly, the saints of God inspire us. The saints of God inspire us. Verse 7, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture. Would you notice the word people? You know, sometimes you might get that Elijah complex and you might think, I'm the only one being faithful. I'm the only one going to church faithfully. I'm the only one who has these old-fashioned beliefs that I have. I want to tell you something, friend. Thank God for the many people who still love God, who still pray to God, who still sing the old hymns, who still come to the house of God, and who love Jesus Christ today. And the people of God bless my heart, and they should bless yours. Now, the saints of God inspire us. Now, someone says, well, I didn't think we believed in the saints here. Well, let me qualify what we mean here. When we speak in the Baptist church about the saints of God, we're not speaking about some idols or some guy that a church said is a saint. That's not in the Bible. We're speaking about those that are saved. The Bible says in Philippians 1 and verse 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi. To all the saints in Christ Jesus. My friend, if you are in Christ today, and if He is in you, then you are a saint. The word saint means set apart one, or holy and set apart. God says that His children are the saints of God. And so you and I who are saved are referred to as the saints of God. And we thank the Lord today for His people. Now someone says, man, I'm a saint of God? I'm sure not acting like one. Well, you're in the right place today, amen? And God wants His people to live for Him. But the saints of God encourage and inspire us. I know sometimes people disappoint us. But I thank God for the fact that many times and the majority of the times, God's people encourage our hearts. The Apostle Paul thanked God upon his remembrance of the church of Thessalonica. He thanked God for the saints at Philippi. He was thankful for the people of God. Thank God for faithful people who inspire my heart and inspire your heart to be grateful for all that He has done. I'm thankful today for the strength of God. When I think of His strength and power, it inspires me. I'm thankful today for the sustenance of God, that He's going to provide for us a meal today, and that He takes care of us physically. And then I'm thankful for the saints of God, people who are faithful and people who are encouraging to us along the way. And then I'm thankful, fourthly, for the satisfactions of God. The satisfactions of God. I want you to notice, if you would, back in the book of Psalms, let's turn over to Psalm 103 and verse 5. Psalm 103 and verse 5. The Bible says, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. You know, sometimes God gives us the basic sustenance of life, and sometimes He gives us the satisfactions of life too. Sometimes God gives us peanut butter and jelly, and sometimes God might give us a nice steak. God says, I'm going to satisfy you. I'm going to bless you, Psalm 103:5, who satisfieth my mouth with good things. Thank God for the way He encourages His people. I heard about a little boy who went into the restaurant with his parents, and they sat down to eat, and the meal was brought, and the meal was wonderful, and then they brought the dessert, and the dessert was apple pie, and the little boy looked up to the waitress. He said, thank you so much, ma'am. She was taken aback. She said, my, I never have children say something like that to me. She said, that was wonderful. I love to hear children say that, things like that. He said, throw a little ice cream next to that pie and you'll hear it again. And sometimes that's how we are. You know, if we can just get that little extra, we'll be thankful. But you know, God is so good to us. He not only provides for us physically in the way of satisfactions, but I want to say He provides for us spiritually. The Bible says in Luke chapter 6 and verse 21, blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. Jesus Christ will satisfy your soul. He said to the woman at the well, He said, I can give you water from which you will never thirst again. And the Bible says in Luke 6 and verse 21, blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be filled. And I'm so thankful today for the satisfactions of God, not only physically, but also spiritually for all that God has done. Now we see the inspiration of our gratitude. God says, here's some things I want to do for you. I want to provide for you my strength. I want to provide for you my sustenance. I want to provide for you my saints or my people. And I want to provide for you sometimes my satisfactions just to let you know how much I love you. The foundation of our gratitude today is the cross of Calvary. Oh, listen, if God never did one more thing other than save us from our sin, we have something to be thankful for. But besides salvation, He also provides for us each and every day those special inspirations, those special reminders of how good He really is. And then I want to show you thirdly this morning, not only the foundation of our gratitude, but also not only the inspiration of our gratitude, but also the expression of our gratitude. And I want you to see what the Bible says in verse 2 of Psalm 95. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. Verse 6. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord God, our Maker. Now, here we see the expression of gratitude. Spiritual gratitude is expressed through spiritual worship. Simply put, my friend, if we can sit here today and if we can experience God's blessings and hear about God's blessings and think about salvation and think about all the things He's done for us, then the saved man who is filled with the Spirit of God has a spiritual response that says, Lord, You have done so much for me. I want to express to You my gratitude. I want to say to You, thank You. I want to show You thanksgiving for all that You have done for me. And you see, spiritual gratitude is expressed through spiritual worship. We can worship Him, first of all, through praise. We can praise our God. Now, some of you daddies are getting the reputation, and some of you mommies perhaps as well, for being a little bit grumpy. Sometimes around work, even Christians have a reputation of just being kind of crass. But I'm going to say something to you, sir. If you are saved, you've got something to smile about. And if you understand everything that God has done and is doing for you, you've got something to have an attitude adjustment. You say, I'm just here to listen to the message. No, let's let the message do a little changing in our heart today. Let's get a fresh look at the cross of Calvary. Let's walk out of here with a smile on our face. Sometimes I meet Christians and I'll say, are you saved? And they'll say, yes. And I often say, well, tell your face about it. Sometimes you meet Christians that looks like they have dill pickles and lemons every morning for breakfast. I'm saying if you get a hold of what the Lord's done for you and is doing for you, it'll perk you up no matter what's going on. And you ought to go into work tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Hey, how you guys doing? And at 1 o'clock, hey, good to see you. And on Friday at 1 o'clock, still thanking God for what He's done in your life. And be the one who brightens the corner where you are. Worship Him through praise. Hebrews 13 and verse 15. By Him let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving praise to His name. Oh, listen today, friend. God wants us in the church house. God wants us in our own house to give praise and thanks to Him for what He has done. And in Revelation chapter 7 and verse 12, we get a little glimpse of this matter of worshiping God through praise. The Bible says there, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God forever. Amen. Here we have the angelic chorus around the throne of heaven. You want to know what it's going to be like in heaven? They're saying thanks and praise and glory to our God. These are the ones who for all of eternity are just saying, thank You, Lord. Praise You, Lord, for what You've done. By the way, Revelation 7 and verse 12 starts with the word amen, and it ends with the word amen. You see, I'm not an amen kind of a Christian. That's all right. You don't have to say it, but you might as well get used to it because we're going to say it in heaven. Amen. You see, the fact of the matter is that while the angels said, thank You, Lord, and praise You, Lord, others were saying, amen, which means I agree. It means we believe that God is worthy of our praise. And oh, I'm saying to you that when you recognize what the Lord has done for you, and when you realize all that He's done for your family in saving you and your family today, then you have something for praise. You have something to praise God for, just like the angels in heaven are praising Him at this very moment. There was a clock store in New York City. The clock store had a sign in the window that simply said, clocks converted to chiming. And I thought about that. And I thought, praise the Lord, when someone accepts Christ as their Savior, God forgives their sin. If they'll just stop to think about that, that old sinner, rough and ornery and on his way to a Christless hell, now his feet are stepped upon a rock and the Lord has established his goings and heaven is his home and his sins are forgiven. You talk about a clock converted to chiming. How about a sinner converted to praising? And God wants us to give praise for what He's done in our lives. And so we can worship Him through our praise, and then we can worship Him through our giving. Worship Him through our giving. You can't sit here and hear about Christ and His shed blood and His sustaining grace and His strength and all these things without saying, Lord, what can I do for You? Lord, how can I give my thanks to You? Oh, we can give Him thanks through our praise of our lips, yes. And we can give Him also of our substance as well. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians in your Bible this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 6. Here we see the church at Corinth being challenged to express to their God their love for Him. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 6, these words, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." A thinking Christian is a thankful Christian. A thankful Christian is a giving Christian. A giving Christian is a happy, joyful Christian. I'll say it again. A thinking Christian is a thankful Christian. A thankful Christian is a giving Christian. A giving Christian is a joyful Christian. You show me a Christian that's got the molly grubs and they've got to go to church and their wife wants them to do this and the job's a hassle, I'll show you someone not thinking about God's goodness, not thinking about how great God has been, and normally not giving to the things of the Lord. Oh, giving is a part of thanks. Throughout the Bible, men showed their gratitude by giving. Way back in the book of Genesis, Abel took that innocent lamb. He sacrificed that lamb. It was not the worst lamb. It was not the leftover lamb. It was the best lamb, the pure lamb, and he gave it to God. Oh, we think of Abel. We think of Noah who brought the clean sacrifice unto God. All of the clean beasts were given as a sacrifice to God. We think of Abraham who brought his son, Isaac, and he laid him on top of that altar, willing to give him according to God's request and from a heart of thanks. God provided the ram in the thicket, and Isaac was not given, but Abraham had a heart that was tender. In Exodus 35, the children of Israel gave thanks in preparation for the building of the tabernacle. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, Solomon gave out of an offering of thanks for what had been done in the temple. On and on through the Bible you go. Come into the New Testament, find our Savior in a manger, and see the wise men gathered around him, not saying thank you only, but giving thanks with their gifts unto the Lord. I'm saying when you get a hold of who Jesus is, and when you see the brightness of his glory, and you realize your sins are forgiven, and that heaven is your home, no one twists your arm to have to give thanks to the Lord. It's the reaction of someone who recognizes all that God has done. 2 weeks from today in our Thanksgiving offering, we have a special time to give thanks to the Lord. With the praise of our mouth, yes, but from the substance of our lives, we say, thank you, Lord, for what you've done. And God says, I can bless a people like that. I can trust a people like that. Oh, today, what a blessing to give thanks unto our Lord. And so the gratitude of an authentic Christian, the gratitude of an authentic Christian, the foundation for my gratitude and yours today is that Jesus died for our sins. Friends, if that's all he did, we can be thankful today. That's the very foundation for Christian gratitude. But the inspiration for our gratitude, the thing that keeps us thankful, is that God does so much every day for us, and he provides so much every day for us. And then the expression of our gratitude, because he's done so much for me. Lord, what can I do for you? Lord, how can I give to you? Our family had the opportunity to spend some time in Washington, D.C. as we went down to the mall area there in Washington, D.C. and saw some of the monuments. We came along the Vietnam Veterans Memorial. We came to a little area by the memorial where they had some books, sort of like a phone book. In those books were the names of the deceased. In those books were the names of those who had given their lives in Vietnam. We stood in line behind a man around 50, I would say. He had his finger going down the page looking for a name. I was looking over his shoulder to try to understand about how that worked. One of our dear members in our church, Brother J.J. Johnson, many years ago I led J.J.'s wife to Christ, and around that time I learned that J.J. had a brother who had died in Vietnam. And I wanted to find J.J.'s brother's name on that wall, and then I took his picture, the picture of the name, and gave it to Brother J.J. And we were wanting to know how that book worked. And this man was going up and down the pages and looking for a name. Finally, his finger stopped. And as his finger stopped, his shoulders slumped. And he began to weep as he held to that book. And I put my hand on his shoulder. He said, "It's my brother. It's my brother's name." I saw him later as he was standing by his brother's name on the wall. And we went and found J.J.'s brother's name. And we stood there for a moment and gave thanks in our own way for what these men had done. I don't know exactly why we walked past that area and we stood in a place where we could look back on that wall. My wife and I began literally just to weep as we thought about the sacrifice that had been given by these people. It gripped our hearts. And I put my arm around Terry. I said, you know, there's not a lot we can really do about this now. But the one thing we can do is we can dedicate our lives to bringing revival to America. We can dedicate our lives to making America the place that it needs to be. We can give all of our lives to preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. They did what they could, but they're not here now. We're still here for a reason. And I think about all that Jesus has done for me. And I look at the cross and I think of the blood that He shed, and there's not a lot that I can do about that. But I can give my life to Him. And I can give my gratitude to Him. And I can sing His praises. And I can preach His gospel. And I can tell others how great He is. And I can give my thanks to Him for all that He's done for me. And may God let us have a revival of authentic Christianity. Not the mumbling, grumbling kind, but the praising, giving, and loving kind that expresses itself to God and to the people of God every day. Let us pray. Father, we thank You today again for all that You've done.